In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I was very, very touched and moved by reading the synopsis of the theme of not only this year's convention, but for the next 4 years, and the spiritual journey that you're being placed into for that period. And it's especially good to think that way because our lives are very much a journey. We often get very, very put off. Our spiritual lives become very disheartened and very defeated because we feel that we can't be 100% spiritual and holy all the time. And we feel that, I'm trying everything I can, but it doesn't work. And what this convention and this theme actually bring to us quite well is that that's because it's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. It's something that comes with time and something that God helps us with as we go along this journey. In speaking about preparing to climb this mountain, at an emotional level, we've got to make assessments. It's well and good for me to say to you, or say him to say to you, or the Father to say to you, you have to be a good person. You have to live spiritually. You have to live a good life. You have to live a spiritual life. And that's wonderful. And that is what we do. That is what we do. And that is what we always do. But the problem with that is that if it's not internalized by you, if it is just our vision and not yours, it will never work. You know that. When your parents wanted you to go into a particular field or career and your heart wasn't in it, you just think, well, this is my life. I want to do what I want. Particular job, particular way of life, particular person you're going to get to know. You have to be completely convinced by what's happening, and you have to internalize it and make it part of your own reasoning. So there are some questions that I think we need to answer. The first question is, where are we going and why are we going there? Where are we going and why are we going there? We're talking about a journey. It would be ludicrous for me to speak to you about a journey if you didn't know this journey was leading you. Yes, you will trust me for a day, 2 days, a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, but no one likes to run blind. And if you don't have a view, a vision, an understanding of where this journey is taking you, it's very, very soft ground. The second is, which route am I taking? Which way am I taking? And the third is, what is this mountain I'm going to climb, and really, is it worth climbing? Obviously, in front of me, I would say to you, is it worth climbing? You say, of course it is. But is it worth climbing? Is it worth the effort? Is it worth the toil? Is it worth the anguish? Is it worth the struggling sometimes? And unless we can answer those three questions, we really can't even start this journey. Because what we do in our spiritual lives is that we say, yes, I'm going to start today. And, you know, it's like our wonderful New Year's resolutions. You know, you have this incredible passionate thought. It flashes up. You say, yes, this sounds good. But then you start and where's it going? I must tell you that as we grow older, we gain experience. Our work ethic changes and our style changes. And I remember I used to make fun of people, especially when I would attend meetings in England, and you know the Brits are the creators of system and bureaucracy. right? And that they imported it all around the world. And you'd go for a meeting and you'd say, yes, well, we need to set a plan, so, okay, you know, we want to have an event. When are we going to have this event? Okay, let's have it in 3 years. So, 3 years? You know, we're cops, whatever, we're going to do it next week. nothing takes 3 years. But then, as time went on, I started to understand, no, that's right. And I find myself doing the same thing now, where I have meetings with my own young people and say, okay, we want to, for instance, revitalize one of our ministries. It's okay, we want to go, okay, hang on, let's break through it, let's see where this is going. Let's put down a 12-month plan. We've got a 12-month plan. We're cops. We don't put a 12-month plan. But that's where we go wrong. And that's why it's inspiring to see this course being set down over 4 years. Because it does actually go somewhere. And it builds up gradually. So what we do with these wonderful New Year's resolutions is we start, okay, I want to do something now. And I will start. And I will grab my FBA and I will go to Mass every day. And, you know, if there's a fast, I will fast all day, every day. And I think, okay, I'm going to do this. And there's no sustainability. There's no sustainability. There's no long-term plan. And so things, as quickly as they go up, they come down. As quickly as you inflate a balloon, it takes a fraction of that time to deflate it completely. And that's what happens to us. There is no sustainability. And we're not going to be able to sustain our spiritual plan for our lives without understanding why we're doing it, without having a plan. And all of these will take us into three fields. One, self-examination. You know, where am I? Where am I going? And where do I want to be? Two, insight into my own experience of faith and my own spirituality and my own relationship with God. And where am I right now? And where do I expect myself to be? Three, knowledge and preparedness for the journey. So I know of the journey, and I'm ready to start walking. I'm ready to start moving along that path. Because again, if I'm not, it's not going to be sustainable. So the first question, where are we and where are we going? At this stage of your lives, you have made particular choices, you are about to make particular choices, and you will make certain choices in the near future. Whether it be to do with career, relationship, where you live, what career steps to take later on, these are really fundamental decisions you're all going to be making. And what we do is we separate our real life, you know, our real life being our work and our family and our studies, that's real life, from our spiritual life. And that's our first mistake. There is one journey we travel. There is one journey that we're on. And as long as we keep trying to live that journey as two people, we're going to have a problem. Because we're going to be going in two different directions. It's going to be like trying to deal with someone who has a multiple personality disorder. You know, today you want to go in one direction, tomorrow you're going in the other, and you think, why am I confused? Because you're trying to walk two paths, being one person. Because, as I said, you have split the real from the spiritual. But until the spiritual becomes the real, we have no hope of achieving real, sustainable growth. And it has to be real. It has to be calculated. And I hope this doesn't sound sort of very empirical and very cold and calculated, but we have to have a plan. We don't do anything, or we shouldn't do anything, haphazardly in our lives. We plan everything, so why not plan our spiritual lives for? And why not try to take real, positive steps? So, everything I choose, all these decisions you're going to either have made or are going to make, they need to still have one focus, and that is the long-term journey of my journey through this world to God's kingdom, paralleled by the journey of the Israelites to the promised land. It's a journey. And until we start looking at life as a journey, we're going to be holding on to the world too much. It's like me having come to here to you today and said, yeah, I really enjoyed the plane ride, and well, that's it, I've gotten to the airport here, I'm going to turn around and go back. I didn't come for the plane ride, I came to be with you. There is an end. It's not about the journey. But what we'll find is we are focused on the journey and forget where we're going. So, you know, we'll pack for the car. Okay, we're in the car, we're going to go for, you know, a 5-hour drive, so we'll take snacks, obviously. And we'll take bad music, because you don't get bad music when you're on a long ride. And you'll take someone, you know, one of the people in the car is the person you make fun of. Because otherwise it wouldn't be fun. And you'll do all of this for the journey, and the journey is great, and it's wonderful, and it's enjoyable, and we're really enjoying the journey. Okay, guys, we're here. We're here. And what? Did you bring clothes where we are? No. Did you make bookings for a hotel? Did you even think about where you're going? No, I'm just thinking about the journey. And as ludicrous that sounds, this is what we do with our lives. We enjoy the journey so much, but we forget where we're going. It's like the Israelites having been spinning around 40 years in the wilderness, thinking, I'm really enjoying this. Manuk, quails, tower of fire, you know, pillar of cloud. We've got it made. You know, tap a rock, get water. What else do we need? Let's be better than the rest of our lives. And we live in this state of spiritual, you know, Bedouin travel. Not really hoping to do anything. But we don't. We want to be looking towards the promised land. And everything we do directs us towards the promised land. And what we have to realize, and I'm sorry to tell you this, is that on the promised land, on this journey, you know, I'd like to make it out like it's one of these great, you know, great holiday movies where everything's fun and people are smiling and, you know, life goes on, but no. This journey, there will be mountains and there will be valleys, as you have in your little handouts. There will be joy and there will be sadness. There will be victories and defeats. There will be successes and failures. There will be all of those things in the journey. Unless we have our sights fixed on the promised land, once we hit a failure, we're going to be like the Israelites who, when Moses went up to get the commandments, came down and they said, you know, we were eating fine with the Egyptians. Where did you bring us now? Look what you've done. So what are you doing now? You know, we're worshipping the calf again. We've become pagans again. Because we didn't have a plan. We didn't know what we were doing. We just came along for the ride. But we realized that that doesn't work. That's not what the journey is about. The journey entails leaving your comfort zone. Because a journey is going from point A to point B. And quite, you know, quite often we're really comfortable at point A. We don't want to go anywhere. But it means leaving point A to point B. And a verse from the book of Genesis, the Lord speaking to Abraham saying, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Now we've all read that numerous times. But if we look at the intricacies of that particular statement, we see God's plan and we see what we need to do. First of all, is we need to put things behind us. So we need to get out of our country, leave our father's house. We need to put everything behind us. But at the same time, God says, to the land that I will show you. This is a partnership. It's a journey that we're on together. God never leaves me. He's always there. And when I start to absorb this thought and this understanding and become emotionally prepared for a journey where God is by my side and supporting me, it's fine. But if I think of the journey by itself, I'm going to think, I can't do this. I'm not strong enough to do this. I don't even want to do this. I don't want to do this. We need to be able to let go. Can we see the child, the young child, learning to swim? And, you know, the first thing that happens when you put the child in the pool is he or she will hold on to the side. Now, the longer you hold on to the side, the longer you are sitting there paddling and never learning to swim. Because the side is safe, the side is sure, the side is known. But once you let go of that, you can start to learn to swim and start to achieve something that you've gone out for. And sometimes in our relationship, our spiritual life, we need to trust God enough to let go of the side, so that he can take me and teach me. Because he will teach me. He won't leave me to my own disastrous ways. He will always take my hand and try to guide me as much as he can. It needs trust and it needs submission. This journey is about trust. And if we have it set in our hearts and our minds that we're going to trust God, then by all means it'll be a smooth journey. Now, if I trust God, I'm going to think nothing's going to go wrong. And even if something does go wrong, he's got me there in his hand and he will protect me. The Israelites, although they traveled for 40 years, didn't die of starvation. Didn't die of thirst. They were led, even in the storms. In the darkness of night, they were led. Because God was with them, and God was guiding them to a particular end. So, until we trust him and submit to him, we're never going to be able to get the full impact of this journey. We're never going to be able to journey properly. And this concept of submission and trust has come to many people. It came to Moses in the burning bush. Imagine Moses' shock. Where there he was, living as an Egyptian for all this time. But suddenly now he was called to do what was almost, to humanity, to human mind, it was impossible. What do you mean, take my people out of Egypt? What do you mean, take them out of Pharaoh's hand? It was inconceivable. But at the same time, when Moses was called, he would never in his wildest dreams have thought, for instance, that the Red Sea would open up and cross the sea. But God had the plan. God knew what was going to happen. God knew that he would release them from his captivity. And if he had not submitted and trusted, then he would not have been part of that. Because God's will is God's will, and God's will happen. The greater will. And you know, if he doesn't find one person to do it, he'll find another. But it is we who miss out. It's we who miss the blessing. First of all, I miss the opportunity for my own salvation, because I'm not following him or going in the right path or starting this journey. Secondly, I am missing out on the opportunity to be part of this wonderful work where others are involved or others are concerned. When our Lord spoke to his disciples right at the beginning, he told them, he said, leave everything and come follow me. The rich young man, sell all you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. And that's what this journey is about. It's about following him. He is our pillar of fire. He is our pillar of cloud. He is our salvation. He is our strength. He is our traveling partner who protects us and keeps us safe. But if I don't understand all of this and I'm not prepared for it, it seems like such a daunting task and such a massive task that I will never endeavor to commence it. And even if I do, at the first problem, I will fall back and say, no, I don't want to do this anymore because I can't. There was a nice statement out of your notes, I think, that you've been given, or was on the website. And it was, as those of the Old Testament, the journey towards the promised land of Canaan will fill our lives with profound meaning, priceless blessings, and the love of God in our hearts throughout the challenging times that come to us. And that's precisely the state of the journey. There will be hardships, there will be hard times, but I will be comforted. I will be supported. I will be made to rejoice because He will not leave me. God's plan was never that the Israelites wander in the desert for 40 years. That was their own lack of wisdom. God's plan was to give them the promised land. And God's plan for us is not to have us winding all over the place in our lives, because that again is out of lack of wisdom. God's plan is that we go from point A where we are to point B, which is His kingdom forever. That's where He wants us to be. Next question is, what's the route that we're taking? You guys say round two. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just make sure that the language is okay here. We don't have to stop on the feudal system, please. All right. Which path? What are you taking? You're going to say path, so it's all right. Some of you guys know which say it's fine. Which path we take? Which road do we take? Who stipulates that? How do we come to it? Who guides us along it? Who shows us the way? And again, we've got to realize that we need to embark on this journey. I can stand here for as long as I want. Until I take the first step, I am not on the journey. As long as I stand here and think about it, I'm contemplating, I'm planning, I am dreaming, lots of words come to mind. But I'm not journeying. With the first step comes the journey. And therefore, with the first step, I still need to figure out which direction I'm taking. Because first steps are easy. But it's the continuity. So, again, how am I going to figure out whether I want to start this journey or not if I don't know the nature of what I'm going to? What is Canaan? What is the promised land? Where is it? Is it worth the struggle to get there? What's so impressive about this destination? Now, you keep telling me that I have to have a good spiritual life so I can live further with God and His kingdom, but why? And why should we subject ourselves to the ordeal of the journey? Because we know that, you know, spiritual life comes with struggle. There's a reference from Book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 24. But I say to you, you shall inherit their land. I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the people. That's what it's about. It's about a promise. God has made us a promise. And the promise is completely achievable. With His help, with His grace, with His strength. It is completely achievable. We are quite often self-defeating. My mind will say to me that I am not strong enough for this journey, therefore I shouldn't even try. I will sit back and think, look how many times I've failed, I don't want to try again. And all of this is wrong. Because again, as we saw with the Israelites, God was with them all the time. Even when they made a mistake, even when I teach them a little lesson, he was still there to comfort and provide for them afterwards. And we don't need to make this journey alone. It's something that we do with his power, his strength, his guidance. It is the land of milk and honey. Why milk and honey? What's the significance of milk and honey? The richness, the sweetness, the abundance. The things that we cannot achieve from this land that we're in now. The things that are so instantaneous, that are the sweetness of this world, you taste and then it goes away. The land of milk and honey, the promised land, the land of our spiritual milk and honey, is a land that after we have allowed it, at it, will not be taken away from us. And the sweetness that we taste there, and the richness that we experience there, and the comfort that we see there, is unparalleled. Nothing comes close to it. Our problem is when we speak about the kingdom, we compare it with things we've experienced here. Well, we compare it with types of worship here. Well, I suppose being in a church where you have, you know, a lot of technology, that's sometimes not a good thing for people. Because you come to a young person and say, you know what, you're going to the kingdom and you're going to be praising all the time. You think, what, a liturgy that never ends? No thank you. But we don't realize that what stops us from this liturgy and enjoying it here is our physical ears and our physical body and our mind that's scattered all over the place. What will happen in the kingdom is if we are there in the milk and honey of the Spirit, basking in God's love, partaking of His sweetness and His riches, with nothing obstructing us. There is no weakness of body, there is no weakness of mind, there is no weakness of will. There is just praising and praying and worshipping. A place that has only joy and nothing else. That place out of which has been taken all evil. That's what we're aiming for. That's our destination. If I look at this destination and anything else, then I'm going to think here, well, okay, I'll take the journey today. Maybe I'll go, maybe I will, maybe I'll enjoy it, maybe I'll work some shit. But that's not the way we look at it. Our promised land is something that cannot be achieved in this life. It can't be. Nothing compares. Even St. Paul, the most eloquent Paul, couldn't express it. St. John struggled with metaphor. He couldn't express it. And what we have at the end is that it's that which eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor even has occurred to the heart of man. That's as good as an expression as we're going to get. Because it is off the scale as far as our own assessment. That's what we're being promised. And until we realize that is what we're being promised, then we will never, ever embark on the journey. Back to the book of Leviticus, chapters 26, verses 3 to 7. What are we going to be given? Obviously, this is what God was promising his people in the promised land. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce. The trees of the field shall yield their fruits. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full, dwell in your land safely. I will give you peace in the land. and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts." So what we're saying, what we're hearing here, is God provided for them, materially, physically, a place that was, for them, absolutely perfect. All abundance, and all gifts, and all riches. Sustenance complete with whatever they want. Free from evil, free from fear. And our spiritual promised land is going to be the same. Every fear that we have in this life is going to be gone. Every weakness we have in this life is going to be gone. Every doubt we have in this life is going to be gone. Every shortcoming we have in this life is going to be gone. We will have nothing to fear, neither ourselves, because we fear ourselves quite a lot, neither ourselves nor anybody else. There's nothing to fear, because He will protect us in that place. Why? Because it is a place of His absolute presence. This is the kingdom. This is our promised land. Our promised spiritual land. And God keeps His promises. God keeps His promises. Our problem is we lose faith sometimes when the journey becomes a little bit difficult. But if we look at the book of Joshua, and we look at all the steps that went into claiming the promised land, we've got planning for the journey. We're sending in the spies. We've got seeking roads where there's no resistance. Personal struggles. Courage. Obedience. Crossing the Jordan. All of these were steps towards finally claiming that land. The spiritual journey is not about quick fix, which unfortunately is now part of our ethic and part of our lives. For us, we want everything to be a quick fix. But it doesn't work that way. It's an investment. It's a daily investment. Because it is a daily step. One step at a time. Step after step after step. And the wonderful thing with spiritual life and a spiritual journey, it is very much like an infant starting to learn how to walk. The first step is very clumsy. And sometimes after the first step, they will fall. The next step is a little bit more sure, because the parent's guiding hand is there. And the third even more sure, and the fourth, fifth, tenth. And with time and persistence and determination, this child who stumbled at the beginning starts to run. We don't give ourselves a chance upon this journey to get past the stumbling. Once we stumble, we fall and we don't get up. Either because we're so hurt by the fall, or we have no faith that we can do it again. And that is the way Satan controls us. He takes from our minds and our hearts the passion to continue. He takes from them the faith that actually we can achieve all things through Christ who strengthens us. He takes away from us the memory of the words of God Himself that He will not leave us. Book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 5. God says to Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." And that is along the whole journey. I will not leave you nor forsake you. If I don't know all of this from the outset, then the journey is very, very scary. If I know this from the outset, then I'm going to find it very difficult to keep walking down this path, because I'm going to be unsure, unsettled. I'm going to be afraid of taking the wrong step. Yes, we're going to make mistakes, because we're not perfect, and because we're weak, and because we have a broken nature, and because if we have humanity that is riddled with sin. But at the same time, we have the guiding hand of God, the protecting hand of God, the strengthening hand of God, the light of God that is before us and that guides us along the journey step by step. This is only the beginning of the journey. If we don't think about all of this in its entirety, if we don't make this plan and say, yes, well, I am at point A, the kingdom is at point B, I know that if I travel this path, some of it is treacherous, but you know what? I know that God won't leave me. I know He will not forsake me. I know He will not abandon me. So therefore, I will be encouraged. As was Moses, as was Joshua, as were the disciples, as was Elijah, as were all these people were inspired to walk that path. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Christianity is not somewhere where you can sit back with your popcorn and say, yeah, he's done a good job, I think. Right. I like the style there. You're a good technique. I would have done it differently. You know, not him. Yeah, no. Come on, who does that? And it's very easy to sit back and make all these judgments. That's what we find ourselves doing. Come on, you know, if you're on a plane, you know, how many of you are sitting on the television and you're watching a game? Come on, didn't you see it? No, I could see it from here. Yeah, but you won. Now, it's easy to sit down and point things out. Much more difficult to actually get on the field and play. Get on that road and start the journey. Don't sit back and spectate, because life goes on. And you will see people passing by. Some of them going straight towards the kingdom, some of them maybe not. But at the end of the day, we are left behind. We are left behind. The weak are left behind. Not because God wants to leave them behind, because God has taken the weakest. He will carry us. He will carry us and He will take us. The weak are left behind because they say, I don't want to come. I'm not interested. I don't see the value. I don't want to be there. And that could be the biggest shame of our lives. The biggest shame of our lives is if we're left behind and this journey, this wonderful journey starts. And at the end of this life's journey, when that kingdom is finally opened up to all of us, that I can only sit there and look from a distance. That's when there will be pain. That's when there will be disappointment. That's the day we're going to think about. That's the day we're not ready for. Am I ready for that day? Am I ready to sit back and think, I really wish I would have taken that step. That first step. That supported step. Because I know that He won't do it. Whatever our approach spiritually, whatever technique we use along the path, and, you know, we'll talk more about that in our next session. Whatever technique we use, under instruction, under guidance, we're never ever going to make the journey if we don't take the first step. If we're not ready for it, if we don't want it, if we don't desire it, if we're not yearning for it, if we don't feel there is a need, then we're never going to do it. If I'm apathetic, then who cares? If I'm scared, then I'm not even going to try. If I'm worried, then why should I take the risk? But if I'm sure, confident, And I'm inspired. I know I'll be supported. We listen to the words of the Lord God, Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you. Nor Satan will be able to stand before you. As I was with Moses, I will also be with you. And during your journey, along your path, and in the difficult times, I will not leave you, and I will never forsake you. Start the journey. Have a destination in front of you. Know where you're going, know why you want to be there. And only by doing that, and by being ready for it in our minds, in our hearts, in our whole being, can we actually take those first steps to that wonderful promised land that will be given to us if we are faithful. Glory to God forever.